In New Zealand one time, a man asked a question. It's the first time I've ever been asked this question. It's a brilliant question. And he happened to be a scientist. And he said, who revealed the teachings to the Buddha? So when we get that, that's our view of religion, it's revelation. And he was shocked when I said, excuse me, would you ask Einstein who revealed relativity to him? No, of course you wouldn't, because we know he's a common, he's an intelligent guy who uses his noggin, and this is the crucial point I'm getting to. He observed the world as it is, and with his intelligence, he came up with a bunch of things. He proved it, he codified it as laws, and he presents relativity. So he didn't. We know he didn't get it from on high. It was not revelation, it was not a dream, and it's not speculating. I said, Buddha, I say the Buddha is exactly the same, except you've got to posit the possibility that mind has got subtler levels of cognition, which these Indians discovered. So we understand that Buddha is exactly the same. So you take Buddhism as your working hypothesis. I talk like that. So what does Buddha say? Buddha says the mind is not physical. It's a river of mental moments. It's necessarily, given that it's cause and effect, it's necessarily beginningless and endless. So then let's just posit that possibility. And I say that we're very intelligent people. Why are we so scared to think of that? We don't like, because we don't like it. We want to hold on to our view, the mind is the physical brain. Leave the brain alone. Buddha's, I say brain is not Buddha's expertise. His expertise is the actual cognitive process itself. He says it's a beginningless and endless continuity of mental moments. And then two, the law, the natural law, he is not a creator. He did not make up a single thing. It's a natural law that runs the minds. It runs all these trillions of sentient beings, all these trillions of minds. It's a natural law within which the lives and minds of all beings run. It's a natural law. So that means so then I say it's divided into four categories. Every single experience we have, no, every single thing we think and do and say sows seeds in our mind, programs us, that just naturally produces the person we become tomorrow and the next day. I said, we get that. If you play piano every day, you're not surprised you turn into a musician. If you're angry every day, don't be surprised you turn into a nutty person. But we don't have to think that. We have a different set of rules for that. We think mummy's fault and daddy's fault. So that I just try to get people to hear this possibility that your consciousness is not physical. I said, eventually you can prove it when you get clairvoyance, when you got shamatha. All the techniques are there. They're still living and existing, and people look like you and me are doing them right now. So I try to just get people to hypothesize it. Don't be scared of it. You know, Buddha might be wrong. As His Holiness says, if we follow Buddha, we check as we go, and if we can prove that he's wrong, then of course you reject him, no problem. But we shouldn't be so scared of this idea. We're so kind of, and then the other point I make is it's not punishment and reward. I said, if there's no creator, there can't be punishment and reward because there's no punisher and no rewarder. But we make up that philosophical, that dualistic view of creator, you know, punisher, rewarder, innocent victim, good, bad. I said, we've made that up. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame your Catholic mum or your Jewish mum. So I try to talk in a down-to-earth way. It's a hypothesis, and you've got to prove it. That's it. You can't just don't like it. That's childish. So I like this. And then I go into details. I mean, and then people in the end, I mean, my friends in prison, the years I taught in prison, I don't teach any different to prisoners or to other people, that the karma was the most powerful view. And when people really hear it this way, that it's not punishment or reward, it's a revelation. And people find it less difficult to hypothesize it. And I keep saying hypothesize. I never use the word belief, ever, ever, Daniel. I never use the word belief because it's just become we've become intellectually lazy. Yeah. That's the only way to do it. And to know it's got nothing to do with the creator, nothing to do with punishment and reward. And the Buddha could be wrong, so relax, you know, it's up to you to find out. So that's what I find so powerful about distinguishing for people the difference between what we assume is God's law. God made it up. God created. Nothing wrong with that if you have that faith. But Buddha says there's no such thing as that. Everything is natural law. Buddha's only about natural law, which is why it can be proved.
Yeah.
And natural laws is how things, that's what they mean, thusness is how things are. Karma is natural law. Emptiness is natural law. Impermanence is natural law. That's, I think, it's when we get to the word of natural law, not religion imposed upon us, then we can begin to hear it.
Yeah, nice. What are some of the things people push back on you, or what are some of the other good questions you get when you're traveling around the world? And like, that was a good question from this scientist.
A very few. That's the only first time I've ever heard that view. But every other question we all ask the same. But I'll tell you what, in terms of karma, there's one question I've never had. And this question, and this is the view why we find karma so painful. Mm. I've never yet had the question why good things happen. It's only why do bad things happen. So that really is powerful. In other words, I've never had a person ask me a question that little girl with a beautiful mummy and a beautiful daddy and money in the bank and good health and lovely friends, you mean she deserves it? No one ever asked that question. It's only the bad.
Why the hell did I win the lottery? No one sort of contemplates that, do they?
No one ever asked that. We just so when we understand attachment, which is bottomless bit, bottomless vampire in us that only wants the nice things, attachment is an assumption that we deserve the good, and anger is an assumption that we don't deserve the bad. That's where it comes from, and that's our philosophical view. We've made that view up, you know. So we act from that. That's the point. So it's about, and even this view that everything that's good that's happened to us, we've created the cause, we almost can't hear it because we assume good things are natural and we assume we just all deserve it. But the horror and shock when bad things happen. That's why it's good to use the garden analogy that Buddha did. I said, your life is your garden. You never look in the, you don't look in your garden and say, who put weeds in my garden? You know that. They're your weeds, baby. You don't ever look in your bank. Who put dollars? We know that whatever's there, we created. This is the whole point. It takes us a while to hear it because we've got all these dualistic views in our head already, you know?
Yeah. And so how does one go about, you know, trying to see that in ourselves, these things we do?
You've got to start taking it as a hypothesis. How do you first learn A equals FBC squared? You start with 1 + 1. You've got to take it as a hypothesis. You join math at junior school, and each step of the way you tick the boxes. You've got to prove impermanence first. Then you prove this and you prove that. You've got to go each way. And that's why the Lamb Room is so powerful, because it's organic and logical and progressive. You've got to go one step at a time. You can't just prove it overnight. You have to prove it. And we love the word belief when it comes to things. It's just intellectual laziness, you know.
Why is trusting in a hypothesis and living your life based on that, why isn't it belief?
Huh?
What's the difference? Why isn't it belief?
Because I think our view of belief is blind belief. You can't. What we say, you do. The commonest question is, do I have to believe in karma? We say that. I say, do you ever believe in botany? You don't, do you? Now, are you a botanist? No, I'm not. But so basically you do believe in botany, but you don't say it that way, because you say, oh, well, botany's real because you can see it. But do you know botany yourself? No, you don't. So you believe in it. It's easy to see the proof of it. But also there's a proof of karma too. Who's proven E equals MC squared to themselves? Nobody. So to say that, oh, it's been proven by somebody else, well, Buddha also has proven karma and emptiness. So for you, you should say, I take E equals MC squared as a hypothesis. 1 + 1 = 2 is a hypothesis until you've proven it. But you've got to check the teacher, check that it seems valid. Then you take it as your hypothesis. Then you learn, and then you prove it. It's like everything's like that. But we're so lazy, we don't think it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're especially lazy. We actually believe in most things. We just think it's because someone else has proved it, it's enough. No, Buddha's proved this a long time ago. It's up to us to do it ourselves.